This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, everyone. Do you wish you were somewhere sunny, but are dealing with another crazy spring? There's a solution to get that feeling. I'm grabbing a Hawaiian Breeze 5-Hour Energy and escaping there in my mind. Sports fans, ever stay up late for the game and drag the next day? A 5-Hour Energy shot will fix that no problem. 5-Hour Energy's website has tons of flavors, over 15 to choose from. Watermelon, Tropical Burst, Blue Raspberry, and even hard-to-find ones like Strawberry Lemonade and Extra Strength Fan Fuel. There's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24-pack and have it delivered. Or grab a shot at your local store. They're everywhere. And it's basketball season. My schedule is packed, and I don't want to miss a second, so I grab a 5-Hour Energy shot. They're perfect for back-to-back games or when my team plays late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going through the game and the next morning. Visit 5hourenergy.com for deals and to stock up before tip-off.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Tonight! I think this is definitely Smashing Pumpkins, right? Is it Tonight Tonight? It is, yeah. I'm still obsessed with him and Bill Burr potentially being brothers. I can't get enough of that story. I don't know if they're going to ever get the blood test. I think I saw a story that they're actually interested in getting a blood test to see if they actually are brothers. If you haven't heard that story, it's a wacky one. But yeah, the... Why am I blanking on his name? What's the lead singer of Smashing Pumpkins? Billy Corgan. Billy Corgan and Bill Burr are apparently brothers. That they have a father who was a musician, a touring musician, and had a second family or whatever. And Billy Corgan kind of went public with it, and Bill Burr wasn't happy. And then Howie Mandel put them on the same podcast together. It was a funny moment, but... Whenever I think of Smashing Pumpkins now, I can't get this story out of my head. Because I just imagine that guy who, I don't want to make presumptions, but I don't think Bill Burr is all that happy with the man for having two families, whatever the case may be. But what are the odds you're walking around like creating genius? Like, what are the odds? Like, I'm a musician, I'm whatever. Obviously, he wasn't overly successful because I don't think we ever heard of him. But like, I'll have kids with this woman, I'll have kids with that woman, and I'll make, you know, two of the more creative, successful people that you could, I mean, Bill Burr is at, whatever you think of him, he's at the top of the comic game, and I know Billy Corgan's been a long time, but Smashing Pumpkins is one of the more creative, innovative, influential bands of the 90s. What are the odds that you just, like, that's what fascinates me, that there are people walking around who could sire geniuses anywhere they go. Like, how does that work exactly? Like, how is Bill Burr not just like a dentist? Like, what are the odds that one of the more influential musicians of an entire decade and a comedian at the top of the hill, and he's on Broadway with Oscar-winning actors. He's doing Glengarry Ross, whatever that movie play now is called. And he's doing it with Culkin, who just won an Academy Award. How did you just randomly father two creative geniuses like this? Unbelievable. I'm fascinated by the story. Sorry. Sidetrack. 888 808-1019. Following along with this Knick game, OG Anunoby with a three to get it to an 8-point game, 96-88. You know, we talked a little bit about the Rangers, too, since we're mixing everything in. The Rangers with a debacle loss last night, and I heard Boomer this morning talking about the coach, and it's hard to argue with him. I have not been a big fire Laviolette, fire the coaches. We do this a lot in the NHL. Constantly having another coach, constantly having another retread. There is a handful of coaches who've been all over the league. Laviolette has literally coached half of the Eastern, half of the East. It's unbelievable. Tortorella, him. Like, think of all the coaches the Rangers have had over the last few years. They're all these retreads. Alain Vigneault has coached everywhere. Tortorella has coached everywhere. Laviolette has coached everywhere. Like, you get a million chances in the NHL. But that effort last night and the way they were outshot and out-hustled and out-performed and out-toughed and everything else against the Calgary Flames team in when the Rangers should be in desperation mode was a disaster last night. And I heard Boomer talking about having to fire the coach, and it's hard not to agree. I don't know. Obviously, it doesn't matter right now. But moving forward, I mean, you have to do something to change this team. And I don't know if you can change the core of the team right now. You're going to have to do something to change. I mean, you can't just continue to go forward with this group now. It feels like this is the culmination and just the end of it. It feels like there's no coming back with this group. I wouldn't expect to run it back and have a successful team next year. It just feels like that is a lot to ask. And I don't know what's capable. I don't know what they're making changes to make them more successful, or we're looking at changes that break it down, send another letter to the fan base, and go about rebuilding this thing. But it's funny because we were at a point, you know, last year where both the Knicks and the Rangers were in the playoffs. We were comparing it to 94. And right now, the Rangers have completely fallen off. Right now, they're outside of the playoffs looking in. And the New York Knicks, I'm not getting too crazy about a bad loss to the Spurs, but we don't know what Jalen Brunson is. We don't know when he's going to be back. We don't know what kind of player he's going to be when we get back. And honestly, this Knick team, we've had a lot of questions about whether or not they're good enough to beat the upper echelon of the Eastern Conference anyway. Like last year, there might have even been more optimism heading into it. There might have even been more optimism looking at the road ahead and, you know, after beating Philadelphia and then getting a Pacers team that, you know, most people felt the Knicks were better than. And we'll know, you know, they got ravaged by injuries. But, like, right now, you think about what we expect from those two teams. The Rangers, I don't think Ranger fans expect them to even make it into the playoffs. And the Knicks fans, while it is a huge leap from where we've been over the last two decades to just think of them as a team where we're not satisfied with the 3 seed in the Eastern Conference. I mean, that's a world apart from where we were. If you would have told me 5 years ago that I'd be, you know, either relatively annoyed or disconcerned or, you know, not overly excited about a team that's the 3 seed in the Eastern Conference, I would have laughed at you. But yet here we are, and that's what expectations do. And the Rangers have been carrying those expectations for a long time, never getting them to the fruition. And now it feels like the floor has dropped out from underneath them, and we'll never see that team come to fruition with the expectations. We'll never see those expectations. And now the Knicks, the expectations, while high and, you know, are in a 3 seed in the Eastern Conference, I don't know if the expectations are that they're good enough to get past Cleveland or get past the Boston Celtics and ultimately are doomed to run this cycle of second-round defeats, because that's kind of what it feels like. So there's really not much. I mean, there's no enthusiasm for the Rangers right now. The Knicks we're going to continue to yell about because we know where they're headed. But baseball and football, at least baseball, we got some excitement. And I got to be honest with you, I'm excited about the prospect of Aaron Rodgers being the next quarterback of the New York Giants. We opened the show with it. I love the idea of the waiting game. I think the waiting game for the New York Giants it fits right into what they want, especially in a game against Pittsburgh. Let Aaron Rodgers take his time. I just saw the report again that Nobody wants, no TV wants to hire Aaron Rodgers because he's insufferable. But right now it's between, after he was told no by the Minnesota Vikings, it's between the Pittsburgh Steelers and the New York Giants. And for me, the longer he waits, and that's the report, that he's going to take his time with this, that there's no deadline on this, that he's not in any rush with this, take your time. Because the longer the Pittsburgh Steelers have to wait, the worse for them. There's expectations. They can't just throw out any old quarterback. They have to go try and win. They just traded for DK Metcalf. You think DK Metcalf is going to and signed him to a contract? You think him and Pickens are going to be happy with nobody of relevance throwing him the football? You think they're going to be happy going into a season without real expectations because the quarterback either can't deliver himself from pick sixes or is 100 years old? Like, they have to make a decision. They can't wait around for Aaron Rodgers, and Aaron Rodgers is clearly not in any rush to go join the Pittsburgh Steelers. What are they going to do? They're supposed to get back to the playoffs and finally win a game. That's all that's left for them. There's no, the Giants can still be, you know, the Giants can wait because ultimately they have the third pick. They're going to be able to draft a young quarterback. Aaron Rodgers says no. Okay. They'll sign Drew Locke or they'll sign some veteran backup quarterback and start day one with their third pick quarterback. Because right now it feels like we're trying to figure out, right? Everyone wants to know, how does Joe Shane and Brian Daboll and Joe Shane, they feel like they have to keep their job. What are they going to do to make sure they keep their job? Well, you could either trade for Matthew Stafford, which they attempted, or you can do what they're trying to do, develop the young quarterback while bringing in a veteran who might help them win games, right? If you're trying to do both, and I think that's what they're trying to do, they're trying to thread the needle. They're trying to walk the tightrope. They're trying to win enough games with this team, and they just put a ton of money into the defensive side of the ball. They picked up some interior linemen as well. They brought back Slayton. And if you can bring in an Aaron Rodgers while you draft the young quarterback, hopefully win enough games to appease your owner, keep the planes from flying above MetLife Stadium, win 6, 7, 8 games with Aaron Rodgers, have some offense, help develop Malik Nabers, help develop Tracy, help work with this offensive line and the cadence, as well as developing this young quarterback. You win some games, you develop the young quarterback, you transition next year to that young quarterback ready to take over with a team that's had some winning, a team that's built a little bit of culture and a little bit of winning over this year with Aaron Rodgers. Continue to add to it, continue to draft, continue to sign in free agency, continue to impact your offensive line, give yourself another year to really fix that offensive line, and then you attack next season with a young quarterback who's learned from one of the handful of greatest players to ever play the game. Hopefully with a couple of wins in the bank and an offense that's been productive the year before with Aaron Rodgers and a fan base that isn't ready to just absolutely, you know, drive off a bridge or fly planes above head. A fan base that isn't ravenous to have the heads of its GM and its coach. I think it's the perfect solution for the New York Giants. Perfect! And the longer that Aaron Rodgers decides to wait, the better it works for the New York Giants. Because honestly, one, if these are legitimately the two choices and he's not running, oh my God, what a ridiculous three-pointer. Not the next night. But, I mean, if he legitimately has a choice between the Pittsburgh Steelers and the New York Giants, and we all feel the way about this Giant roster, and we all Pittsburgh's the better option, then why isn't he running there? Why isn't he signing the contract? The longer this goes on, the better it is for the New York Giants. The more they'll have a chance to convince him. I think the idea of being comfortable, he just built the home in New Jersey. He's played in this building. He knows, he's talked about the relationships he's built inside the building. You know, some of those relationships are shared with the New York Giants. Not all of them, not the coaching staff, not even, you know, the training people or anything like that, but the staff around the building. A lot of those people are the same people for the New York Giants. And you get to stick it to Woody Johnson. Nothing would piss off Woody Johnson more than taking over the New York Giants and having them win more games than the Jets, or bringing them back to somewhat prominence, maybe even sneaking into the playoffs, or at least being in the playoff picture for most of the year. Nothing would piss off Woody Johnson more. And I wouldn't put it past Aaron Rodgers to be using that as some sort of motivation. So the longer it goes on, the Giants are in a better position to wait. The Giants don't need him as much as Pittsburgh needs him. And ultimately, there are some deciding factors that could lead to Aaron Rodgers taking the New York Giants. 888-808-1019. Quick break. We'll come back with your calls. A little baseball, a little football to start the show. We'll get into some other things as we got plenty of time to do it. I got you all the way till 2 a.m. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. 120-105. The New York Knicks fall to the San Antonio Spurs on the road. And again, unfortunately, I was driving and then I was doing the show. I'd be lying to you if I told you I had a good feel for this game. But I can tell you this. The San Antonio Spurs shot 45% from three-point land, including Sandro Mamukelashvili, who was 7-for-7. From three and scored 34 points and damn near threw a party after the game on the court. I mean, this is just one. I mean, they shot, the Knicks shot 29%. They shot 45%. The Knicks were out rebounded in this game 52-44. You heard during the update at 10 o'clock, Marco tell you that. The positive of this game is Mitchell Robinson played well in 17 minutes. 5-of-6 from the floor, 3-of-6 from the free throw line. He scored 13 points. He had 11 rebounds in 17 minutes, including 5 offensive rebounds. So that's a positive as he starts as he's continuing coming back from the injury. But just overall, I mean, Mikal Bridges, 14 points in 32 minutes, 5-of-13 from the floor, 1-of-4 from three-point land. Josh Hart, 35 minutes, 2 points, 7 rebounds, 7 assists. 32 from Karl Anthony Towns, shot 50% from the floor pretty much, 8-of-9 from three-point land, 2-of-40% from 3. So Karl Anthony Towns, just based on the numbers, had a decent game. But this is a game that the Knicks, now look, do we really have a fear of the Knicks slipping out of the playoff spot at three? I don't. But this was supposed to be a stretch of winning basketball. And, you know, after that three-game losing streak on the against Golden State, Los Angeles, and the Clippers, they win against Sacramento. They have the great win against Portland in overtime with the buzzer beater from Mikal Bridges. They lose to Golden State. They blow out Miami Monday night. This was supposed to be the beginning of a big-time stretch run where they would be able to win a bunch of games without Jalen Brunson. At San Antonio, coming up at Charlotte on Thursday, Washington, Dallas, the Clippers, Milwaukee, Portland, Philadelphia, before going to Cleveland on Wednesday, April 2nd. The rest of March was supposed to be an easy stretch for the Knicks. Now, it's one game. I'm not saying who knows what happens the rest of the way, but this defense, when I look at it, the first thing I saw, 45% from the three-point land. 45%. Like, it's just not a good defensive effort against a San Antonio Spurs team that doesn't have its two best players and doesn't have its head coach. I mean, it's just a disappointing loss for the Knicks. And the effort and the toughness have to be more consistent. They have to be more consistent. Because let's be honest, it wasn't there against Golden State the first time, Tuesday, March 4th. There was nothing there. There was nothing there. They allowed Golden State to come into the Garden, Curry to do his thing, lighted up, win his 13th out of 14th games played at Madison Square Garden, whatever that ridiculous number is. Dance, celebrate, call it the Mecca, all that stuff we've been used to for the last 20 years. Stars coming in, dominating the Knicks, and then talking about how great the city and the building are. They lose to the Lakers in OT after blowing a lead late. They get beat by the Clippers the first game without Jalen Brunson. Obviously, Brunson goes down in the Lakers game. So that Lakers game is a disaster. They blow a lead. They go into overtime. They can't get a shot off in regulation from Josh Hart. They go into overtime. Brunson gets hurt. They lose that game. Then they followed up first game without Brunson. I'll cut them some slack there. It just takes some time to develop an offense or at least work on it because it's the next night. It was a back-to-back in L.A. They lose to the Clippers. They rally back. Sacramento, Portland, the big-time overtime win, buzzer beater. But then the poor performance against Golden State. Followed up by a dominant performance against Miami. Followed up by a lackluster performance in San Antonio. Followed up probably by a dominant performance against Charlotte. Followed up by an inconsistent start against Washington. Followed up by a decent game against... But like, it's just... They're having trouble getting their footing here in the season. Now, I know they're without their star. And I know they're waiting for Brunson's return. But I don't even know what Brunson's going to be when he gets back. I mean, it was a significant ankle sprain. But right now, this was supposed to be a stretch before, you know, things get tougher and the season comes to an end. They got to get ready for the playoffs before April, where they have at Cleveland, at Atlanta, home against Phoenix, home against Boston, at Detroit, home against Cleveland before they end the season against Brooklyn. That is a very difficult schedule to end the year. For the month of April, they will have at Cleveland, at Atlanta, who they're better than, but Atlanta gives them, you know, we all know the Atlanta matchup. Phoenix at home against Boston, against Detroit, a possible playoff matchup, and a team that is, you know, on a run right now with a bunch of youth and, you know, playing really good basketball. Follow that up with Cleveland, and then before you go to Brooklyn to end the season, that's 6 straight games before ending the season in Brooklyn. Of real steep, tough playoff competition. And this stretch of March was supposed to be where they get it done. And so far, this first road trip out in San Antonio, miserable performance. And they allowed San Antonio offensively to shoot at an incredible clip. I mean, 45% from three. They out-rebounded him by 8, out-defensive rebounded him by 10. Same number of points in the paint. If you're going to give up this, if you're going to be tied in points in the paint, you can't allow 50%. You can't allow damn near 50% from 3. 888-808-1019. Let's take your Nick calls. Now that the game is over, as they lose 120-115 in a game that they were down as much as 28 points against the San Antonio Spurs. Let's go to Matt in Manhattan. What's up, Matt?
Yeah, hey, Chris. I'm going to come off, I have a negative point to make, but I actually, as far as tonight goes, like at this point in the season, I don't even care about that.
Mm-hmm.
So honestly, I mean, we're far enough along. We know what this team is. If they lose to the Spurs on the road, so be it. If they lose the next game, so be it. The thing is, the team's not the same without Brunson. They're not close to the same without him.
Right.
But the main problem is that when they have him at full strength, they're not good enough to beat the teams they need to beat to get to the NBA Finals or the Eastern Conference Finals. And that's, I mean, they've proven it. They're 0-for against those three teams.
Mm-hmm.
It would mean more to me, honestly, if the Knicks were to win the final three games against the Cavs and the Celtics. I don't care what they do against the rest of the league. Win those three games.
Yeah, but what does that prove?
That would give me hope.
Why?
That would give me some hope.
Why?
They haven't beaten them. They haven't beaten them at all.
So what? I mean, I honestly, like, we say that, and it's been blowouts more than it's just losing the games, but we've seen teams get swept before in the regular season.
You think
if they win, say Boston's got the 2 seed locked up or whatever, and then, you know, or Cleveland the last game of the year, what's Cleveland playing for?
I don't care about that. What are we talking about? But what I'm talking about is that there's an entire tier of teams they don't have a single win against, and that bothers me. I mean, you can't, like, a team like Boston that won it last year gets a pass. The Cleveland and the Thunder, who, you know, are winning like 85% of their games, they can drop games here and there, and it doesn't matter. The Knicks can't do that. They can't lose to these teams every single time out. I mean, you want a prediction? Honestly, if the Knicks were to play the Cavs or the Celtics in the playoffs, I think they get swept or lose in five.
Yeah, I mean, I don't necessarily disagree with you that they haven't shown they can hang with them, but and we've been talking about that, but I just don't think at this point does it matter if they win a game. Like, would you feel that much better if they go into Cleveland on Wednesday, April 2nd, and they win that game? Say it's the first game back for Brunson, he looks healthy, they win that game. Are you going to feel like, oh, well, there we go, now we got a series against Cleveland? Or if they go beat Boston, like, it's already enough, right? We've already proven they're going to have to beat one of these two teams. And what's the blessing in disguise of losing Brunson is you're hoping that they can find other solutions without him, right? Like Mikal Bridges in his game against Portland. He hits that buzzer beater, played great, scored 33 points, got to the foul line, was more aggressive. Like, that's what you're hoping for. You're hoping Mikal Bridges, without Brunson for a while, when he's forced to step up, will do so and find himself. Same thing with Karl Anthony Towns. That'll make them better when Brunson comes back. That's the hope. All hope is not lost just because they've lost games in the regular season. We've seen it before. It doesn't mean they can't, you know, who knows what happens. I agree with you that I don't know if they're as good as them. I wouldn't expect to beat them. I wouldn't pick them to beat them. I wouldn't bet them to beat them. And even if they won a game against Boston here, it wouldn't make me feel that much better about the situation. But these games matter because this team is supposed to be finding itself. They're supposed to be stepping up in the absence of their leader and finding themselves, and they're showing a glimpse of it, but they can't do it consistently. They have not found that rhythm where on a night-in, night-out basis, they're going to be able to compete, they're going to be able to find answers, they're going to be able to get buckets late in the game, they're going to be able to do these things to win games against the lousy, and they shouldn't even need any of that stuff to get to beat San Antonio on the road. You're coming off a dominant performance at Miami. You go on the road to San Antonio, and you fall down 28 points in the first half of the game? Like, I'm not saying tonight's important. I'm not saying it's a death knell on the season. I'm not saying this is proof that, you know, that of anything. Nor would a win been proof of anything. But it's just the effort and the defensive effort and the ability to get, like, they give up the three so easily. And even with Mitchell Robinson, like, it hasn't helped the defense just yet. And they're supposed to be finding themselves, fine-tuning themselves, so that when Jalen Brunson comes back and is healthy, they'll be better for it because he won't have to lead them in every situation. That if he's on the court because he's kind of nursing an ankle a little bit, off the court on the bench in big moments because he's nursing his ankle a little bit and easing into the season or dealing with, you know, some pain that's lingering, that they'll have answers because they've learned it while he was gone. And last night, all they learned is that they friggin' didn't want to show up in San Antonio. Limo driver Ed, what's up, Ed?
Hey, Chris, good evening. Listen, let me tell you one thing is, this team has tuned out Thibodeau, for one. If they're going to come up there and tell you that they're minutes and things that's going on, this team is tired. They don't have a good power forward, or maybe you do, but you don't have that go-get guy. You know, the Knicks don't have a guy that you can just go, he's going to take over. They don't have nobody like that. Without Brunson, they have no one.
Well,
that's,
I mean,
the thing,
no,
is, you've got to realize something about the Knicks.
Well,
they
hope,
don't have
hope,
no.
We need Carl. They need Carl Anthony Towns to be that guy. They need Carl Anthony Towns to be that power forward and the guy who gets to the basket.
Yeah, but then you got a center that doesn't score at all. Okay, I mean, you can't block shots all game long.
No, I got you.
You don't have that guy to score, and that's the problem. That's the problem. The Knicks don't have a lot of guys. If Towns is on the bench, who else is going to be out there? I mean, really, you don't have a guy that can take over.
Well, I mean, how many
That's
guys?
The
I mean, they
with
traded.
Knicks.
Mikal Bridges is capable of scoring. They got Karl Anthony Towns.
Yeah, but the guy.
Like, how many guys?
Soft.
How many guys
he
they need?
Soft.
How many
his
different?
Body.
How many different guys? I know the Celtics are loaded. Like, how many different guys can just go off for NBA teams? They've got two legitimate stars. They were the two starters
but
of the
you know
All-Star
what?
Game.
Hey, listen, hey, Chris, you look around the league, brother. There's plenty of them. Okay, Knicks
teams
just don't have it.
Yeah,
and they are soft. They are soft. And you know what? Even with the coach, okay, it don't make a difference. That's his job to make sure this team is up.
Yeah,
and
no,
they
that
defense.
Agree.
What is he doing? What is he doing? But you know what? That's what I'm saying is. That makes no sense. Listen, like I said, and Brunson, man, with that type of injury, he won't be able to stay with these guards and how they run all over the place. He's not going to make it. The Knicks are gone.
All right. Well, I mean, let's relax. This is typical. I'm angry. I'm yelling about the game, and the first couple calls are that the season's over. There's no hope. Like, let's relax a little bit. The Knicks season did not die tonight in San Antonio, and there's no reason to think that the Knicks, you know, Jalen Brunson, oh, he's not going to be able to play. He's not going to be able to do this. We don't know. We'll find out. You might be right. He might not be. Listen, and let's be honest. He wasn't very good a defensive player to begin with. That's the issue. Their two best players right now, Karl-Anthony Towns and Jalen Brunson, though, at the one and the five, don't really defend. That's a major flaw of the team. But the idea they don't have anybody else. Mikal Bridges can score. Karl-Anthony Towns can score. Like, they should. They do have other guys who can get to the basket.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting score some. They don't have a power forward, right? Karl-Anthony Towns kind of is the power forward for a lot of the game. Once, you know, Mitch Robinson starts playing more. Last night was a defensive thing. I mean, yeah, I hear you got to find back buckets. They scored 105. They gave up 120. You should not be giving up 120 to the San Antonio Spurs without Fox or Wemby. Like, that's the problem. The problem is the problem at least last night wasn't they don't have anybody to go to. They're finding to see if they have somebody to go to. And if you look at their clutch numbers, it's not just Jalen Brunson. Yes, he's been the best in all of the NBA. Look at the Knicks' late and close numbers. Their shooting percentage as a team is in the high 50s. Like, they've done a really good job late and close finding baskets. They just had a buzzer beater from Mikal Bridges. Like, I'm not ready to just say there's no one else to go to. They got to find themselves. Bridges got to find himself. Karl Anthony Towns got to get a little bit tougher and show up in those big games. He's been nowhere to be found against Cleveland and Boston. That's been probably the biggest reason for the blowouts is the worst games of the season so far for Karl Anthony Towns have been against the biggest games of the season against the best teams. Now, I'm not making a big stink out of last night, nor do I think, you know, the last two callers were. It's more of a generic thing. But I'm just saying, like, I'm looking for this team to start to galvanize and find themselves, and they just can't put it together steady. They can't find that momentum without Brunson. Now, we all know ultimately it won't even, if they don't have Brunson, there's no finding enough rhythm to get there. But I was hoping that as we watched, to your point, that they lost to the Boston Celtics, that they've lost to Cleveland, they lost to OKC, that they needed to get better. Maybe what would get them better is fine-tuning their game and having answers without Brunson and building confidence inside Bridges and building confidence inside Hart to shoot the basketball and making sure Karl Anthony Towns is a motivated, get into the basket, run the offense through him, hit his three-pointers, space the floor. Like all the things he does, they need him focused on that. Maybe raise his defensive intensity to try and win some of these games without Jalen Brunson. You were looking for them to step up in his absence to change who they are so when he comes back, they're better than when he left. Because that's the point. Before he left, they didn't show the ability to be good enough to beat Boston, to beat Cleveland. And down 27, 28 points to the Spurs in the first half doesn't lead me to think the Knicks are on their way to getting better so that when Jalen Brunson comes back, we could call it a blessing in disguise. Right now, it's just a waiting game, and the playoffs will start, and we'll see how it goes. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. Almost 2 hours down, still another three to go as we take you to 2 a.m. right here on The Fan. Be back with your calls next. During one of the SNL, they were putting up all the musical guests. Can't stand it. I know you planned it. One of the performances was the Beastie Boys doing Sabotage. And it was awesome. It was a great performance. It was really a really good performance. That was one of the better SNL performances. I'd never seen them do it live. They were playing, he was playing the guitar. It was awesome. It was a really impressive performance. It's a great song. Love Sabotage. 888-808-1019. All right, so we've turned it to a little bit of Knicks. Still talking football, still talking baseball. We'll reset around 11 or so. Introduce you guys to the show. As we got you all the way to 2 o'clock, we came on after the Yankee spring training game where they lost 4-0 and were completely shut down by the Braves. They also played earlier in the day. A lot of positivity, though, from the offense and the pitching performances in the first game and Cookie Carrasco in the second game. So we did a little bit on the Yankees, a little bit on the New York Giants quarterback situation, and of course now the Knick game has ended, an embarrassing defensive effort against the San Antonio Spurs, a 120-105 loss in a stretch where they're supposed to be clicking off wins and finding themselves instead. Just a terrible defensive effort, embarrassing effort, and it's one that's going to make guys, I've already got two calls on it. We're going to question whether or not they're spinning their wheels with this season. And it's amazing to me to think of where we were and where we are now, that at 43-25 in the 3 seed, spinning their wheels is like a disaster. But it's the case. Expectations are raised on the New York Knicks. Let's get to the calls, though. 888-808-1019. Bobby in Belmore. What's up, Bobby?
Yeah, they know they're stuck at the 3 seed. I think it's hard to motivate these guys. That's just really sad.
Yeah, but they have to step up knowing he's gone for a while. So
Yeah, well, what, Brunson's out for longer than a week or two, you said?
Still a while. Maybe, we'll see. He was going to get reevaluated in 2 weeks, which is probably like...
Well, save him for the playoffs. You know, don't even mess around. And it's stuck in the three-seat. But I know you're on the call. Two quick things on the quarterback situation for both teams.
Yep.
With the Giants, why didn't you draft Hunter? You know, what quit on his teammates during halftime of the bowl game? I know it may not be a big deal. To me, his teammates got him to where he was, and he quits on him at half. That just shows his character.
He quit on them at the Pop-Tart Bowl. I mean, one of his teammates know exactly what was going on. He's an NFL prospect.
I don't know. He's kind of selfish to me. I don't know. Maybe
we see guys do it left and right. I don't know. It's the Pop-Tart Bowl.
Well, and Saunders, you know, he looked horrible. Speaking of ball, he looked horrible in that ball game. And, you know, I know it's Colorado's offensive line isn't that great. But, you know, he hasn't won a big game in college. I would just draft Hunter and go for maybe Will Howard in the third round. The guy's got, you know, and take a flyer on him. Or I heard on FAM that Milton's available for a third-round pick. I don't know why the Jets or the Giants aren't going after that guy. To get him for a third-rounder is a steal.
You think that's a steal?
Well, for a third-rounder,
a third round is a premium pick. That's a premium pick. All of those teams passed. He looked good in one game. I'm not saying that it's crazy. I'm just saying I wouldn't call it a steal. You want for a sixth round pick? That's a steal. For a third round premium pick for a guy who the entire league passed on drafting, who had one decent game. Well, I think that's a bit. You know, to give up a third round pick, you have to be invested in that guy. You have to believe in that guy.
Yeah, but this guy, I know it's only practices and training. This guy's supposed to look really good. And, you know, there was another six rounder from New England. I'm not going to compare him to that guy, but, you know, the way the quarterback situation is, I mean, what do they have to lose? I mean,
yeah,
look at the.
You're looking to find a cheap quarterback. You're looking to find a diamond in the rough. You're looking to get Howard right, who had a terrible. Now, I don't care. I don't buy so much into the throw days at the combine, the throwing at the combine. It's receivers you never worked with, blah, blah, blah. We all heard. But he had a terrible, terrible combine. Like I'm not against it necessarily, but you're looking for the cheap. You're looking for the diamond in the rough. Take a flyer. Maybe this guy's good. You're going to tell me, you know, Milton's worth a third round pick, but then you're going to tell me, well, Sanders didn't look very good in the one game I watched him. Like, I mean, and the Cam Ward thing, quitting on his team. Everybody knew. And by the way, did you see him play in the first half? He was pinpoint accurate. Cam Ward was brilliant in that bowl game. Brilliant. And yeah, I mean, quit on his teammates. You know, with the fear of insulting Jerry Seinfeld, it was the Pop-Tart Bowl. Like, come on, it's like he abandoned them playing for a championship. It's like he led them there. He's their guy. I'm sure every guy understood exactly why he did it. He's got his future ahead of him. And let's be honest, in college football, they're pros now getting paid. It's not the same thing. He did what's best for him. Half the guys, you know, half the guys in the portal do what's best for them. I have a real problem with that. He quit on his team and it was selfish. Cam Ward is going to be the first pick in this draft. I'm hoping it's the Giants who do it. I really am. That's my dream is drafting Cam Ward number one, trading up to get Cam Ward at one, and then getting Aaron Rodgers for the year or half the year or three quarters of the year or whatever it would be. I think it would be, as long as they were successful, they would continue playing him. But like, I'm not looking for some diamond in the rough. Oh, why not draft, you know, Hunter at the top? Because Hunter doesn't change the team. Hunter doesn't change the team. Saquon Barkley's every bit as good as Hunter. Generational, touched by the hand of God, golden jacket, you know, Super Bowl stud, highest paid running back in the history of the NFL. He didn't do a damn thing to help the New York Giants. Not a damn thing. And it's not his fault, I'm just saying. Andrew Thomas, stud left tackle, hasn't even impacted the offensive line play. Dexter Lawrence, arguably the best defensive tackle in the league, hasn't impacted the defense, hasn't done anything to help them win. I'm tired of this, man. I don't care. You think a cornerback is going to change the team? It's not. They need a quarterback. 888-808-1019. I'm getting the break sign pretty heavy. You know, Connor's landing on pretty thick. So I'm going to break here. We'll come back. We'll have the update with Justin. We'll continue to take your calls on a night where the Knicks get blown out in embarrassing fashion. The Yankees offense has come alive, at least in the early game. And I'm pumped about it. Cookie Carrasco, as well as some Mets stuff. And, of course, Aaron Rodgers. Minnesota said no. Now we play the waiting game, and the Giants are best served to play the waiting game. I love it. I'll wait all day. 888-808-1019. McMonagle with you. Quick break. Update. Come back after this.